Well, Saints, it's good to be back preaching again after, oh my goodness, I think this is the longest break I've had in about a year. But I'm not going to preach for 2 days straight, so you don't have to worry. What's the title of today's message? Put yourself in their place. Let's pray. Lord, as we look at your word this morning, speak to our hearts and challenge us to become all that we can be in you. In Jesus' name, amen. Put yourself in their place. When you look out, get up and look in the mirror each morning and you see that face over there on the other side, I want you to realize there is a person that's going to make a difference in somebody's life today. How many of you know you either got to make a difference for good or you got to make a difference for bad, but you are going to make a difference. And our theme for the next few weeks is going to be making a difference. We've got 4 messages we want to preach. The first one is put yourself in their place. The second one is we've got the best. The third is you've got good news. And the fourth is invite them on the journey. Part of what we are doing is this month is actually National Back to Church Month, and the 18th is National Back to Church Sunday, in which we are going to be looking for ways to invite others to come back to church during this particular month. But you'll be hearing more about that a little bit later on. Okay, I want you to imagine with me for a moment. Imagine that you want to go and see this movie. It's Friday night. You deserve to go see it. You've been waiting for it to come out. It is out. However, you got home from work just a little bit late, so you're already rushing to get to the movies. And then because you weren't paying attention, you misplaced your car keys, but you still want to get to the movies. So you finally find your car keys, you get in the car, you're making real good time until you get to a 2-lane road with a yellow stripe down the center, which means you cannot pass. And in front of you is a blue car doing 20 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour zone. What are you thinking at this point? All right, so there you are. What are you thinking? Where did this person get their license from? You know the previews have already ran. You know you want to get some popcorn and a Coke before you go into the movies. So what are you thinking? Hurry up. You can't. There's a yellow line and the police just waiting to get you. You got to lay on the horn and somebody behind you is blowing the horn at you. Get out the car. He said you can walk that fast. Now let me ask you this. Suppose you knew the person in that blue car was on their way home to an empty home because they had left the hospital 2 hours earlier. They had gotten a call. Her husband and son was in an accident, and both of them died at the hospital a half hour between time. And here this person is driving the car home because she didn't have anybody else to call, and she's crying, going to an empty house at 20 miles an hour in a 45 mile per hour zone with you behind them trying to get to the movies. You still would be late to the movies even if you knew that, but how many of you would be thinking differently? How many of you probably would be saying a prayer for her as she was going? How many of you would think this movie really ain't that big of a deal? What's the difference? You chose to put yourself in her place. And when you did, you saw things completely different. You know why we have so much strife in our homes? Because we do not put ourselves in the other person's place. Why do we show such lack of grace to other people? Because we do not put ourselves in others' place. Now, the last time you had an argument in your house, how many of you said, I know I would have won that argument if they would have just saw the thing from my viewpoint? How many of you know it's selfishness and pride on our part to think that our way of seeing something is the only way to see something? You see, we really don't know people as well as we think we know people. We look at people and sometimes we think they got it all together and, man, their life is this and their life is that. But how many of you know we all have issues in our lives? We all have problems in our lives. We all need something to help us out in our lives. It is amazing sometimes how we'll put ourselves in other people's place without thinking about it at times. For instance, you're walking across the street, just minding your own business, and you're walking down, and you just happen to look over, and you see somebody in a car, and you can't tell if they're asleep or if they're unconscious or what, but you notice they're not moving, and you also notice that there are smoke coming from under the hood of the car. You also see there are flames starting to come. Now, when you see this, how many of you are going to do something to try to get that person's attention? One, two. The rest of y'all, I pray y'all don't come when it's me in trouble. Most of us are going to try to do something to get that person's attention. We're not going to want to say, we're not going to ask the question whether our hair looks nice or not. We're not going to ask the question who they might be. We're not going to ask how old they are. We're not going to check to see if they black, white, Republican, Democrat, or independent. We are just going to try to get their attention. Why? Because we know what's going to happen if they don't respond. Now, Gwen sang this song this morning. I'm going to heaven. And what's going to happen in heaven? You know, there are a whole lot of people that aren't going to heaven. And do you know that there's a whole lot of them that we run into contact with on a regular basis? And do you know that we know what's going to happen to them when they die? We know that there is a judgment, and we know that if they don't know Christ, there's going to be smoke and there's going to be fire coming out from under the hood. And yet, we keep it to ourselves. Now, why were we so concerned with them living another 30, 40 years when we saw them burning in that, about to burn in that car? But we don't have that same sense of urgency when it comes to their eternal salvation, which is going to last forever and ever and ever. Let me ask you this. Suppose you were driving one morning past a friend's house and you saw smoke coming out the house and you said, man, oh man, that looked like Mary Sue's house. And you kept driving. And somebody else came, a total stranger came 10 minutes later, and they saw it, and they stopped, and they risked their life, and they went in, and they got Mary Sue, and brought Mary Sue out of the house, and Mary Sue has been burned somewhat. If only somebody had helped her a little bit sooner, she would have escaped getting burned altogether. Now, suppose you go to the hospital, and you see Mary Sue. How many of you are going to say, You know, Mary Sue, I came by your house at 6:30, 15 minutes before he came. And I saw some smoke going up, and I said, Lord, bless Mary Sue, and I got to work on time. How many of us would look forward to saying that? And yet, how many of us are looking forward to getting to heaven and having somebody say, you knew about Jesus and you never said anything? You knew I would be lost and you never told me? And you said you were my friend? Don't you know that's a frightening thing to look forward to hearing in heaven? Anybody here looking forward to that moment? You see, Jesus put himself in our place. For when Jesus came into the world, the scripture says he didn't come into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Because Jesus looked and he saw where we were headed and he saw where we were going, and he said, if I don't do something, if I don't put myself in their place, they're going to be lost. And so we see in our Old Testament, our New Testament reading, it said, Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field. Jesus looked at us and he said, I have got to do something about this. He put himself in our place. You see, Jesus knew that we had some issues and some problems that we couldn't deal with by ourselves. Is there anybody here like me who I have promised I was going to change, promised I was never going to do it again, promised I was not going to do this again? There have been times when Pastor Toby and I have had mild disagreements in which I have promised, you ain't never got to worry about picking up my socks ever again. If that's a problem for you, don't even worry about it. And you know, for a good week and a half, I do that thing. But after a week and a half, I done slipped back into my old ways. Why? It's because it's not that I don't have the desire to do. There's just this sinful nature inside of me that I can't control that thing. It comes back to get me. And Jesus, when he looked at me, he didn't say, you lied, cheat, no good, promise breaking, whatever. He could have said that about you too. Don't be laughing at me. Too bad. He said, I still want to work in you to change you. Jesus saw me as one of those sheep that needed a shepherd. He saw me as someone that needed a change in our lives. Now, I want you to notice in that passage, it said Jesus went through all the towns and villages. Jesus went to the people, okay? It would be nice if all we had to do was just put up a sign and say, come on to us and we'll tell y'all all it is. But how many of you know most people aren't coming? Most people don't even know what the church has to offer. Most people think we are completely non-relevant to the issues that face them. Even sometime in the church, we think we are non-relevant. But what people don't know is some of the problems they have, they think it's a relationship problem, but it's not a relationship problem, it's a sin problem. It's just like if you're having problems with your boyfriend, your girlfriend, a lot of times, my boyfriend, he got all these girls' numbers in this telephone, and I just don't like it, and I want him to get rid of each and every one of them. And you think that he's got a problem with keeping phone numbers. That's not his problem. His problem is lust. Okay, and I can promise you all I want to promise you, but if I don't deal with the underlying issue of lust, I'm just going to give me another phone with some numbers in it that you don't know about. So the problem isn't the relationship. The problem is the sin underneath. And the church is the only place that actually deals with the sin problem. The church is the only place that says what you need here is a conversion of the heart and a repentance in the spirit. Now, the church is the only place where we really appreciate God's mercy. How many of you can say God was merciful to you this week? How many of you know just the mere fact you walked into church this morning is evidence of God's mercy? There are a whole lot of people who wish they could have got up and walked this morning who could not. And yesterday they were running all over the place. Tell the person next to you, thank God for God's mercy. Thank God for God's mercy. You know, one Sunday afternoon, I went home and I was out there on my hammock having a good time sleeping. Up came this great big old cloud, started pouring rain, messing up my sleep on the porch. I got up, I said, well, it looked like it's gonna keep raining. I got up, I went in the house, and I was standing there at the door of the back, my back door, and I'm looking out onto the deck that I had just left a few minutes ago. And I'm just thinking, and all of a sudden, there is a lightning bolt. And I kid you not, I actually saw the orange in the bolt as it went right across in front of me. The smoke detectors went off in our house. Several of our sockets blew out. And I'm like thinking, but for the mercy of God, y'all would be looking for you another preacher. Because if that lightning bolt had just been turned just at another angle, it wouldn't have went straight across the deck. It would have just came right on into the house. And there I would have been ready to catch it, ready to see Jesus. But for God's mercy. And you see, there's a whole lot of people who don't even know God's mercy is what's keeping them right now. They thinking it's something else. But it's God's mercy. Jesus said, they look like sheep without a shepherd, harassed and scattered. How many of y'all here know what harassment is? Everybody is harassed in life. Time you think you got some problem solved, what happens? Here come another one. You done had an argument. You think both of y'all understood what the thing was. Y'all both agreed. You think the thing has been settled. Here they come with the same old mess all over again. You just know your job is secure as it possibly can be. Here they come with a pink slip. Didn't they call you back? Didn't they say we made a mistake? Didn't they want to call you? Harassment is just a part of life. And everybody is being harassed. We may think at people and think they don't need Jesus, but if you stay around them long enough, you find they are facing harassment too. And the problem with Jesus seeing us as sheep, when sheep are harassed, sheep don't have a whole lot of options. Okay, now imagine you are a sheep. And here comes a lion. And you go charging into that lion. How many of you know the lion is going to have a fine dinner? No sheep has ever bit a lion to death. No sheep has ever jumped on a wolf and beat him up. The only defense a sheep has is to run to the shepherd. The scripture says Satan goes about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. It didn't say seeking who he may take a little bite out of, seeking who he may devour. So when Satan comes and shows his face as a sheep, what should we do? We ought to run to the shepherd. How many of you have been dumb enough to stand there, I'm going to fight him, and got your head ate off? You guys going to stand there and beat him up when what you needed to do was to run toward the shepherd as quickly as possible. Now try this. Next time you're in an argument at home, remember, the enemy is there to devour you, and your goal is to run to the shepherd. So when the person accuses you of something falsely, what are you going to do? How many of y'all already thought about what you got to tell them, say to them, and to tell them off? You already plan on standing there and fighting. But if you ran to the shepherd, shepherd's going to point you to the word. He's going to say, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. How many of you don't like the information the shepherd's going to give you? And again, that's why we have the strife that we have in our homes. You know, the world doesn't know that there is a true shepherd. The world has all kinds of shepherds to deal with issues. There's the shepherd of the bottle. There's the shepherd of the drug. There's the shepherd of the sex. There's the shepherd of the money, the shepherd of the fame, the astrology shepherd. You know, I'm always amazed that we think people are going to think that we crazy because we believe in Jesus. And yet people have no problem telling you they believe in astrology. How does a dead planet with dead moons going around a dead sun control your life? Jesus did four things. He went to the people. He taught them that what you are trusting in is not going to lead you where you want to go. He preached to them the kingdom, which means he invited them to become a part of the kingdom of God. And the scripture says, and he healed all their sicknesses and diseases, which means he is Lord of all. There is no issue, no sickness, no disease, no nothing that's not under his authority, not under his control. To me, that's real good news. And Jesus says, I want everybody to know this. However, there's not enough workers going out into the field, even though the harvest is ripe. Now, Jesus says, there are plenty of people who are waiting to hear the truth, but there's not enough workers willing to tell them. Does anybody here think you know what percentage of Christians never invite anybody to church during a given year? Anybody want to take a guess at it? 60%, 75%, 90%, 95%, 98% of Christians do not invite anybody to church in a given year. And yet we'll say people are not interested in church. And yet of people who don't attend church, 40% said they'd go to church if a friend invited them to come. Now, 98% won't say anything, but 40% of those who would come aren't coming because nobody would invite them. You know what we need to do to become a more loving church? We need to say, God, let me allow you to flow through me to make a difference in somebody else. All God wants us to do is to allow us to allow his love to flow through. And it's up to God to do the rest. But how many of us would really make ourselves available for that? How many of us are saying, Lord, here I am, send me? How many of us are saying, Lord, I'm willing to try to wake up that person that's in that burning car? You see, God isn't trying to tell us to go save everybody in Florida. He just wants us to invite the ones that are right around us. We don't have to go looking for them. They show up. Don't you have people show up in your life? Every day you just kind of bump into them. How many of you know some of those bumps are not accidents? Some of them are God-ordained opportunities that we didn't see as God-ordained opportunity. Now, I can show, just show you how I blow it sometime. I've been praying, God, send more men into the life of our church. And you know what God did? I'm out there in the parking lot, and I'm doing something, and in comes this man. And he says, hi, Pastor Rick, how you doing? And I say, hi, I'm doing fine. And he went on about his business. A few hours later, same thing happened again. And then it dawned on me, God just sent two men. I didn't bother to ask either one of them what their name was. I didn't bother even try to start a conversation with them. I just said hi and let it go. Is there anybody else who like me, a dumb sheep? Just a plain old dumb sheep asking God to do something. God does it and ignore it, just don't do anything about it. How much would it have cost me to have said, so glad you know what my name is. What's your name? What do? You live around here? Got kids? You know, you just had a conversation so that when we've got back to church Sunday out there on the thing, when I run into him, hey, Bob, you know, this week we got back to church Sunday. Why don't you come to church? You see how God isn't asking us to be super spiritual? He's not expecting me to walk on water. Did you see me walking on water on TV last week? Sure you'd like to come to my church now, wouldn't you? Let me stop. I'm going to give you a chance to help me finish this sermon. I need 20 people that say, Pastor Rick, I'm going to take a card, and I'm going to give it to somebody, and all I'm going to do is say, I'd like to invite you to come to my church and give it to them. That's all you got to do. You ain't got to preach. You ain't got to, if they say something to you, you respond in return. But give me 20 people who say, Pastor Rick, give me that card. I'm going to take that card and do it. Okay, come on and get it. Give me at least 20 of them. Give me at least 20 who say I can at least pass out a card. Frank here, pass it out on that side. You pass them out there on that side. Make sure I get at least 20. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Here, pass them out to the ones behind you. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. Okay. Praise God. You need two, bless this little girl's heart. All right, you want one more. Praise God, praise God. Now, if you want some more, there's some more on the back porch. Now, let's hold these cards up right now. I want another one, praise God. I want anybody not to get what they don't want. Let's stand with our card in our hands. Lord, we don't know what the person is going through that's going to receive this card this week. But we do know you know the person. We ask that you would give us wisdom to just place it in their hands, and we are going to believe that you are going to continue the transforming work you've already begun in that person's life. We thank you for being a part of the workers who are going to go into the field to begin to reap a harvest. We thank you for it, oh God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.